It's Current State on WKAR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mark Bayshore. Deadly drunk driving crashes are a grim routine reality in Michigan and across the country. According to the organization MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, 2 out of 3 people will be involved in a drunk driving crash in their lifetimes. Still, MAD says some strides are being made here in Michigan. Current State's Brooke Allen is here with more. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Mark. Another compelling statistic. Every 2 minutes, a person is injured or killed in a drunk driving crash. So that means by the time this conversation is over, somebody will have been hurt. So I talked to Tyler McCachran, the Michigan State Executive Director for Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and heard some encouraging news. He says that in Michigan, people are starting to pay more attention to the deadly combination of drinking and driving.
Thankfully, the news is paying greater and greater attention to it. It's a completely preventable tragic occurrence. It's actually been at epidemic levels for, you know, since 1980 when Mothers Against Drunk Driving was created. And over the years, you know, they used to have as many as 30,000 people killed each year by drunk driving. And that's dwindled down nationally to a little over 10,000. But it's still, you know, right up there with homicides, which are usually sexier for the media to cover it. So there's 10,000 people or more each year killed by drunk drivers and about 15,000 that are killed in homicides. So it's incredibly, incredibly prevalent, and it's on the rise in Michigan.
And I know a recent study came out from Wallet Hub, and it described the most strict states and the most lenient states on DUIs, and it's surprising where Michigan actually fell in this survey.
We take it as a rallying call. We've done a lot of good work, a lot of prep work, and gotten some significant early legislation passed in Michigan that should very, very, in the near future, switch that in a much more positive direction. But for right now, you know, for example, there's 28 other states that have all offender ignition interlock legislation on the books, and that's been found to literally cut the fatalities from drunk driving in half once that's implemented. And Michigan has the high BAC or the super drunk, and the multiple time offenders are the only ones that can get that ignition interlock on their device. That's an in-car breathalyzer that makes it so that these offenders cannot operate their vehicle while they're intoxicated.
So Michigan does not have that right now for everybody.
Correct. And we've got legislation that was introduced by Representative Clint Kesto that is on the floor, and we're working with all of our partners in traffic safety, with Secretary of State, and with law enforcement to make sure after the summer break and the election season that that gets passed as quickly as possible, because it truly is our best legislative tool that we found.
And you know, something I did not know, and I just learned actually today, that sobriety checks are not allowed in Michigan.
Correct. Yep. They were found unconstitutional many, many years ago. And so it would take an act of the Michigan Supreme Court or the legislature to really do a comprehensive change to that. Or it would take, you know, for example, a retiring sheriff to knowingly do a sobriety checkpoint, knowing that it would be legally challenged and encouraging it to be legally challenged, and then have it go up through the Supreme Court to get that change. But yeah, unfortunately, we cannot do the sobriety checkpoints, which are very, very effective in other states. What we do is MAD will partner with local law enforcement and with Office of Highway Safety Planning and do increased patrols so that, and saturate the local media that, hey, these are taking place, especially on holiday weekends, which is when drunk driving fatalities across the nation spike. So we do that, but you know, other states have the ability to literally set up stops where every driver coming through, they do a sobriety check, and you know, it really, really increases awareness. And just like when you see the speed limit, you know, machines on the side of the road that tell you how fast you're going and what the speed limit is, you know, it curbs the behavior and it gets people to take notice. So that's one of the things, you know, after we get ignition interlock for all offenders in place, that we would love to get the political will behind giving our law enforcement that tool as well.
I am speaking to Tyler McCachran, the State Executive Director for MAD Michigan. Let's turn it a little bit, and I know that the case that is probably more on the forefront of people's minds, the little girl who was killed back at the end of July, Victoria Mack,
Yes.
And she was 12 years old, and she was killed by Charles James Cahill. He was a repeat offender, and he had been driving on a suspended license. I believe his license had been suspended since 1990.
Right.
More and more prevalent of what we hear in the media is the repeat offenders. How is that possible?
Well, there's a number of factors. The primary deterrent that was used before technologies like ignition interlock was the administrative privileges to drive. So the Secretary of State revoking those privileges, and the law enforcement community shaking their fingers at the offenders and fining them and saying, "Oh, you can't drive now." Unfortunately, as we all know, they just keep driving. It's a piece of paper to them. They're already breaking the law, and their only concern is getting from point A to point B, regardless of their level of intoxication. So, there's a whole lot of very, very, very tragic incidences that, just like this Cahill one, where the law enforcement community has done their job. They've arrested this gentleman in his case. They arrested him, and he was convicted of DUIs 12 times before he finally took that 12-year-old's life. And he was convicted. So the court system did their job, but the tools that were employed didn't keep the community safe. He should not have been able to operate a vehicle, period. And the ignition interlock is something that has been found to be effective on that. We've had, just with the super drunk and the multiple time offenders that have had that on their cars over a recent 5-year period, nearly 90,000 attempts were made to start their vehicles breathing into that device when they were over the legal limit of 0.08. So almost 100,000 would have been trips that they would have taken while drunk, even though they're convicted and they have that device in their car. They're not using the same thought processes about personal and public safety that the majority of people use.
So civilians are obviously not the only ones affected by drunk drivers. Actually, a state trooper just got hit last week, and a Hamburg officer was actually killed not too long ago by a drunk driver.
Correct. And at MAD, we've actually honored officers 1 year only to have them lose their young children to a drunk driving crash the next year. So it impacts everybody. Over 300 people last year in Michigan lost their lives to drunk drivers, and law enforcement is already strong partners in doing everything that they can with their manpower to combat what you refer to as an epidemic, and I have to agree with it. It isn't people that are deserving of something horrible happening to them. It's not people of any kind of socioeconomic or any other factor. It's just literally impacts all of us. It's just these random giant metal carnage wreaking vehicles are out there, and they're destroying lives for the simple fact that people are not being responsible with their own safety and that of others.
I can say, speaking from personal experience, and, some people know this about me, some people don't, that my life and my daughter's life 12 years ago, just this past July, was affected by a drunk driver. We lost my husband and her father by a drunk driver back in California. And, when that happened, it's such a random act, and it's something that you just don't ever expect. You just really don't know it's coming. So for the people out there, who are affected by this, and the people out there who don't really understand how random it is, and when you do get behind the wheel, you mentioned the machinery and the car and how powerful it is, and really you have no idea the responsibility that you have. Just when you get into a car every day when you go to work, you take the keys and you're driving, and whether you're texting and driving, or whether you run a red light, or you're not paying attention, you're flipping the radio dial, you really don't have any idea of the responsibility that you have in your hands. Just a couple weeks ago, I was involved in a crash with, my husband now and the twins, and four cars were involved, and it was actually pretty minor. But to be honest with you, that is my biggest fear, to be involved in a car accident with them. And, right. Immediately I jumped and I thought, oh, no, I can't believe this is happening, because you see the car coming at you. Of course, from my experience, that would be my first thought of, this is going to be awful. And
right.
For the people who are involved in these fatal car accidents, and You really don't know what is coming around the bend, and to be involved with something like this, it makes you think.
And for the survivors, like you were saying, I mean, literally years and years and years later, just because it is such a out of the blue, traumatic, violent thing that has happened. First responders, many of whom have served in the military as well, that's what they compare it to. I mean, it's like a war zone when you're coming on, the carnage that's left after some of these crashes, especially those that take lives. And, many are dealing with, post-traumatic stress disorder-like symptoms and are very, very fearful as they're making their way around the roadways themselves. So it's not just the person that's lost. It's the survivors that, still have a lot of grief and a lot of anxiety and just a lot of pain to work through. And that's something that MAD puts a lot of our energies into, is to helping that healing process, as well as to help those individuals through the court process so that they're not victimized again as a result of that process.
And actually, a lot of people don't know that MAD actually offers grief support system. You guys are able to help people work through that as well. And there is a national hotline that MAD offers.
Yeah, we offer a national hotline. We also offer free victim services throughout the state of Michigan. So we offer both support groups and grief workshops, but we also have one-on-one, very skilled social workers all over Michigan that will walk hand-in-hand with the people, not only through the court process, but through the grieving process. And really, as long as those families identify that they could use that support, we will stay engaged with them free of charge.
Hey, Tyler, thank you so much.
We do have a couple of our signature community awareness and capacity building events coming up this August 20th, Saturday, in Rochester Municipal Park. We have our Detroit area Walk Like MAD event, and on September 17th in Grand Rapids, 6th Street Bridge Park, we have our Grand Rapids Walk Like MAD event. And that's an opportunity for people that have been impacted by drunk driving and those that really just don't want to be impacted by it, and see the senselessness of it, to band together and put an end to it. It's law enforcement, it's traffic safety professionals, it's those that are serving people with addictions and trying to help them through that. And it's just community members. I mean, MAD was started by one mother that lost a child that said enough is enough, and really created a movement that's going strong nearly four decades later. So one person within a school system can completely change that environment and work with us on underage drinking prevention activities that are going to make it so that our kids are not at risk and are not growing up to be the drunk drivers of the future. It's really, every person in the community at every level has something that they can do to make it a much safer Michigan.
Tyler McCachran, the State Executive Director for MAD Michigan.
Thank you, Brooke.
I'm Brooke Allen for Current State.